Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, his son, this is Asa's son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Baalim, that's multiple gods, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. He had riches and honor and abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, a pretty simple lesson here tonight, but it's something said about this man that is not said of Rel, well, for that matter, anybody else. Lord, I pray that you might give us insight because of this. It's what caught my eye. And, Father, may we aspire to some of these simple things. I'm reminded to pray and say that, Lord, you never asked us to do what we couldn't do. And, Lord, most of these great men of the Bible did not possess extraordinary talent, of course, notwithstanding Samson and others. Father, but the great men of the faith were common men that held common characteristics that they did to please you in an extraordinary way. So I pray, Father, you'd help us to see those things, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jehoshaphat becomes king. He takes over for his father, Asa. Asa was, for many years, a good king in most respects. A lot of the kings of Judah and Israel, well, Judah especially, had good characteristics. Many of them throughout their lives, some for a while. As always, many failed, and we are told clearly about those failures. The Bible doesn't present just a one-sided story of things. Jehoshaphat is the fifth king after David. And again, he's generally remembered in the Bible in a good light. There are some things later on that he messes up a little bit in, but we'll discuss that later. And the Bible, like I said, the Bible exposes all the warts as well as all the beauty of things. And I wanted to point out to you in verse 6 something, well, I guess it's unique to Jehoshaphat. Says his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Now, says there his heart was lifted up. And I wanted to point out to you that from the scripture, and this is what caught my eye, that phrase, his heart was lifted up, is a death knell throughout the whole Bible. For anybody else of which that was said, and there's several it's said of. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Lord warns Israel, when you go into the land and you do right and follow my commandments, I'm going to bless you. And what you'll have to watch out for is lest when you go into that land and get blessed, that your hearts are lifted up because of it, and then you forget me. But again, for a nation, the hearts being lifted up is a death knell. It's not a good thing. It's never a good thing. Except in one case. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, the Lord lays out and says, when I finally get around to giving you a king, Israel, you make sure that that king writes out a copy of his own copy of the law that he himself writes out so that his heart is not lifted up and he goes off and follows other things. In 2 Chronicles 26, a little bit after this, there's another very good king. King Uzziah is a really good king. His problem was that he got lifted up. His heart was lifted up, and he went into the temple, and he offered incense before the Lord, and he left that day a leper, and he left a leper because his pride lifted him up to the point that he thought he could go in and do this matter, and he was a king, not a priest. But his heart was lifted up, and he was destroyed in that regard for it. 2 Chronicles 32 designates Hezekiah, and we'll talk about Hezekiah in a minute, but in this case, it says something unique of the two cases of Hezekiah. It says that Hezekiah was lifted up, and although he got right, and although he repented, he was lifted up, his heart was lifted up, and he almost messed things up entirely for his kingdom. In Ezekiel 28, the king of Tyrus, his heart is lifted up, and he has a type of the Antichrist, and as a type of the devil says, I am a God, and sit in the seat of God. It says later in that passage that because of your beauty, you're lifted up. And it says that as the anointed cherub that covereth, because of the riches, you're lifted up. The Assyrian, as a cedar, shot up his thick boughs and was lifted up, the Bible says. And Nebuchadnezzar one day had his heart lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, and he wound up eating grass for 7 years, I believe that means. Now, this man, Jehoshaphat, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Nothing promises destruction and judgment as much and as often as somebody's heart being lifted up. You've seen before cocky young men and young women leave home thinking they have the world by the tail, and the world is their apple, and they found out pretty quickly that the world had them by the tail, and the world was the farthest thing from an apple. And those guys almost always crash and burn. You've seen, those of you that even watch sports at all, have watched those guys in college, superstars in college, get drafted and land the big contract and all that stuff and all the press and all that, and they completely flame out. And a lot of times the reason they flame out is because they got carried away with themselves and their hearts were lifted up. They couldn't think of nothing but themselves. Bible says, a haughty spirit goeth before a fall, right? Pride cometh before destruction. A haughty spirit before the fall. I know this is dating me, but I grew up in the Muhammad Ali generation. One of the first athletes, really, to make public press with shooting his big fat mouth off. And boy, did he shoot his mouth off. And he was good, and he was all those things. In the end, he got taken down a few notches before he died. Amen? My point saying that is that almost always, for having the characteristic of having the heart lifted up, it is an absolute death knell. Except in one case. And here you have Jehoshaphat. And it wasn't a death knell for him. And there's an obvious reason. I hope you see it. Verse 6. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And that's the difference. All the rest of the guys in the Bible whose hearts were lifted up, they were lifted up in other things. Beauty, wisdom, riches, and various other things. But his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And I'd like to preach for a while about that. Let me show you the opposite end of things with it. Look in Proverbs chapter 5 real fast, just a handful of passages. Then we'll get back to 2 Chronicles. Keep your finger in 2 Chronicles if you didn't already leave it. Proverbs 5, verse 21, it says, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. That is, he's in the Bible. He's interested in what God says. He's interested in how God does things. He's interested in how God wants things done. He magnifies what God magnifies. He hates what God hates. And in doing those things, he's walking. He has his heart lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And he is blessed, and we'll see it later, he is blessed for doing that. Nobody else whose heart was lifted up elsewhere ever profited. Proverbs 5, verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. We can turn a few pages over, look in chapter 12, verse 15. That's what man does. Instead of having his heart lifted up in the ways of the Lord, he gets his heart lifted up in his own ways. That's the problem. Proverbs chapter 12, go down to verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Look in chapter 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. That's a man's ways versus God's ways. I have just one more for you. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Again, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The problem with a man is that he gets preoccupied with himself. Now, with regard to Jehoshaphat, whose heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord, I'd like to say, first of all, and that should be obvious by this point, that it is an exceptional attribute among men. It is said of nobody else in the Bible. Now, you consider all those nobody else's in the Bible. There are quite a few kings that were a combination of good and bad. A lot of kings started good, ended bad. Some intermingled things and intermixed things. David was very admirable. And as all of us look up to David in many respects, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. All those things. And he had some really, really good years. But he also had some really, really bad days. I mean, that day that he decided he had to correct his error and make sure that this thing with Bathsheba didn't come out, when he got around to sending Uriah the Hittite back to the army, he handed him an envelope with a seal on it and said, "Take this to Joab." In that envelope was Uriah the Hittite's death sentence. Because he told Joab, he said, "When you get this guy in the heat of the battle and then retire from him and let him kill him." I mean, and if Uriah the Hittite happened to look up at the king as he took that envelope, he looked into the eyes of a murderer, brother. That guy's a long way at that moment from being the king, the shepherd boy that came out of the sheepfolds to be anointed by Samuel. And so, like I said, David had some really, really good days, but also some very, very bad moments. Solomon was another person. I mean, he started off gangbusters, and I don't know what exactly the case was with David. You know, the Bible says several things about David. It said that he was had a beautiful countenance. He was goodly to look to. So I don't know if in time some of those things became a source of pride, and that was maybe part of the reason that David even multiplied some wives to himself or what. I'm not sure if in a measure David got lifted up in his own heart, and his heart was lifted up in himself, perhaps his beauty, his accomplishments, maybe even his spirituality. Sometimes you get folks that get lifted up in their own spirituality. They think that they're more spiritual than other folks, and they take themselves too seriously. Because you're a dirtball, and that's all you ever will be. Think about Solomon, who began like a firestorm and then wound up one of the great, you know, we look upon his ministry, his work, his kingdom, with great regret for what he became. Take your Bible, turn to a couple other places real fast. Keep your finger in 2 Chronicles 17. Look in 2 Kings 18 real fast. I brought up Hezekiah earlier. I'm just pointing out to you that it's a remarkable thing that with all of these great kings and much admired men of God and such surrounding him both before and after, that Jehoshaphat is still the only king, and as far as I know, the only man in the Bible that the Bible says his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord, and he is the only one that ever profited by his heart being lifted up. And it has plainly to do with where his heart was lifted up. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Look in 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings 18. Hezekiah comes after Jehoshaphat, but notice what an extraordinary thing, what an extraordinary king Hezekiah was. Notice chapter 3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. According to all that David his father did, he removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves. Break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah or any that were before him, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. Now it says there that there was no king in this respect like Hezekiah before or after, and yet I have a verse in 2 Chronicles 32 that says that Hezekiah's heart was lifted up in some ways that was not good, and God judged them for it, and he got right over it. But still, Jehoshaphat's the only man in the Bible that the Bible says his heart was lifted up and profited from it, and it was because it was the ways of the Lord that his heart was lifted up in. Look at one more, 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings 23. This is Josiah, everybody's favorite. Starts out as a little kid, no godly background at all. By the time it's over, he is known as one of the greatest kings that ever ruled and reigned in Judah. 2 Kings 23, and if you will, go down to verse 25, where after it tells you in verse 24, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. So, in different ways, Hezekiah, there was none before him or none like him. And again, and with Josiah, there's none before him or none after him that are like him. And Jehoshaphat still stands, even in that company, alone as a man whose heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Now, with that said, it's a unique characteristic. If you happen to be able to develop that characteristic, you will be an uncommon man, an uncommon woman. And I'm not trying to make you proud in any uniqueness that you may hold there, but I'm trying to say it's not a common thing. Not just everybody that goes to the local charismatic church winds up on those grounds. And not every King James Bible believer winds up on those grounds. Now, with that said, let's look at something else. I'd like to say, with that characteristic of 2 Chronicles 17:6, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. When you stop and consider it, and again with the light that we have from the Bible, that is the only lifting up of the heart that profits, of the heart being lifted up in the ways of the Lord. In those other examples, the lifting up always destroys. And so you have a young lady that turns 13 or 14 or 15 and her body and features start to change, and suddenly she goes from being a slightly awkward early teen to being a beautiful young woman. And boy, I tell you what, if you allow that to run free and you look in a mirror one day and start embellishing and all those things that girls tend to do, and start contemplating and focusing on how pretty you are, and allow your heart to be lifted up with your beauty, you are headed for a fall. And boy, for all the guys who get into high school and go through some maturation and develop an athletic prowess, an athletic success, a physical presence and such. Think about Samson, who had unique supernatural physical capacities of beyond the average man, and what that did to him. It never said his heart was lifted up there, but it became pretty apparent with the following of all the women and his pride, his lack of repentance. And how many times have you seen that in a young man, a young athlete, somebody like that? Boy, you let that heart get lifted up in things other than the Lord, it is a death knell. It is sure destruction. Let somebody for whom it matters take an IQ test and he finds out he's got 150 or 160 IQ, and suddenly he's smarter than everybody else in the world. And a lot of times those folks wind up not having the sense that God gave a goose. And the problem is that their hearts were lifted up. Again, David, beautiful countenance, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16. Goodly to look to, it says. Same passage also. Now he's 15 or 16 years old. Also a valiant man. Spiritual. Courageous. And those qualities had a contribution to almost in time destroying David. Because while it doesn't say it as such, it's easy enough to see that his heart was lifted up in some things other than the ways of the Lord. I think about the modern, they no longer say the words anymore too much. Used to, 15 years ago, you couldn't walk out in public without having the words self-esteem jammed down your throat. For several years there, it was self-esteem, 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 self-esteem. And so the self-esteem generation went out and got married, and in some cases didn't get married, and had kids. And they've now raised a generation of some of the most narcissistic people that ever walked across the face of this earth. They're entirely consumed with themselves. They think the pictures that they post on Facebook go around the world and affect everybody else's lives. It's stupid. It's proud. And their hearts are lifted up in those things. The narcissism, the self. Again, Nebuchadnezzar's pride said that his mind was hardened in pride and his heart was lifted up, and it just about destroyed him. We have, most of us, grown up in a generation where it was, at least for a while, the American dream and the, the manifest destiny, the American pride, patriotism, achievement, where our nation was the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and in many regards is and still is. But that pride, that lifted up spirit of just being an American has in some cases almost destroyed our testimonies around the world, because folks look at us as bold, brash, and pushy. And frankly, it's destroyed us here, because somehow it's become a thing where we kind of think we deserve it. And the reason that you got here is because the gospel got preached and you honored the Bible as a nation back through generations, and God blessed you with possessions and a lot of other stuff. And now you think you're due it if you're not careful. That's a heart being lifted up in something other than the ways of the Lord. I hope you can see that. I think about the minorities' policies of our politics and governments, our race relations, the welfare mentality. They've been propped up, they've been exploited to the point that now everybody carries a chip around on their shoulder. And now we are, frankly, sometimes I listen to the news, and I'm not a news freak, but listen to the news and realize that we're not all that far from a civil war in our country between the races and the cultures. Because literally, what I said this morning about folks being lifted up and all those sort of things are true here. Think about a religious generation that's been raised up. And they've been raised up and they hate negativity. So they've been fed sweet goo. And they've learned to hate legalism. And so they've been given license. They have grown to hate that which is old, and so they've been given everything new. They hate the spiritual, so they've been given the carnal. And so now us pastors have to throw a whole bunch of slick marketing campaign stuff away every time it comes to our desk, because we're told that we need a rock band and laser shows and stuff like that, and they're supposed to entertain folks and make sure their little hind ends are nice and comfy and they have surround sound instead of preaching the Bible. Instead of me spending time studying the Bible and praying and preparing to preach the Bible, I'm supposed to be kissing and dribbling goo all over fleshly babies. And ladies and gentlemen, that's somebody's heart being completely lifted up in pride. That's not what Jehoshaphat was. Jehoshaphat's heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord, 17:6. That is the only lifting up that profits. We have tried lifting up people in so many ways. We have propped up a welfare state. We have told people how wonderful they are, and we've refused to tell them how bad they are, but they're just wonderful, and we've propped them up, and we've jacked them up, and gotten them up real high. Oh, good boy, good boy. And look where they are. They're useless. And as Christians, they're not bringing forth fruit. They don't even look like Christians. They don't even act like Christians. They don't even have a Bible. And that's the thing. Somebody lifted up in anything but the ways of the Lord, and I'm talking about the ways of the Lord as defined in the Bible, it's a death knell. It's a death knell. Let me say something else. Notice in 17:6, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Would you notice there that the simple, I guess I'll call it an act, of his heart being lifted up in the ways of the Lord had immediate sanctifying effects. For instance, Jehoshaphat comes to the throne. He apparently is fully prepared and has counted the cost. He's interested in doing it God's way on God's time. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And right from the very first, 17:1, Jehoshaphat, his son, Asa's son, reigned in his stead. And the first thing that says, he strengthened himself against Israel. Now, who's Israel? Well, Jehoshaphat's the king of Judah. Israel is the other 10 tribes. And they're the 10 tribes that God's in the midst of judging because they've gone after idols, right? And they've had Jeroboam as king, and things are real bad. They're off into idolatry. And so the first thing Jehoshaphat sees with his heart being lifted up in the ways of the Lord was that he needs to make sure and stand against Israel. Now, that's his brethren. For us, that would be another Christian brother or a Christian group of brothers and sisters in Christ that aren't really serving God right. They're Christians, but they're not doing it right. I mean, he says, I've got to protect against that. He says he strengthened himself against Israel. Look at further down in verse 4. But sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Twice it says, we are not doing it the way Israel's done it. We're not going the route that Israel went. We're Judah, and God's given me a commandment. I don't care what the other Christians are doing. We're not doing that. Would you see that right from the start that that was a sanctifying effect? I mean, we're busy trying to put rules on the wall and make sure that everybody lines up with our ways and make sure that, you know, with our rulers and stuff, that everybody does everything just right and they have pure motives and all those sort of things. If you get your heart right and you are your heart is lifted up in the ways of the Lord, there's some things that happen automatically. Would you notice further in verse 3? And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. That's another thing. Now Israel's gone off after false gods. Balaam are false gods. The I-M at the end of the word indicates multiples, plurals. Balaam, he said, they did not go after false gods like the others did. Verse 6, his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves. Those are idolatrous places out of Judah. Where did that come from? Did he go check his rule book to make sure that that's what needed to happen? Or with his heart being lifted up in the ways of the Lord, did he know from the start that we need to put away other gods? We need to put away the groves. We need to put away the high places. We need to cut down the groves. We got to get back to worshiping God right. Can you see that getting your heart in that place has immediate sanctifying effects? Look in verse 2. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, set garrisons in the land of Judah, in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't have to fortify in the sense of sending troops and upgrading equipment and that sort of thing, but can you see that he fortified? He's building the bulwarks. He's making sure that he's properly defended against the ungodly, in fact, in part, against Israel, his own brethren. And can you see that that all stemmed from one simple thing? It all stemmed from his heart being lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Let me point out to you verse 4. He sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments. Simple obedience. Simple obedience to commandments. Now we pastors and you parents, pull your hair out. That's what happened. Pull your hair out trying to impart sanctifying effects to your children, to a congregation, and you know, some people call them standards. They're protections. It's saying we need to make sure and go the second mile to make sure that certain things don't enter and that we never go down a certain path. And when I start dealing with it from that perspective as just, okay, everybody, this is what we need to do, and I can't impart to you, if my heart is lifted up in the ways of the Lord and it's had a sanctifying effect for me, if I just stand here and say, now listen, we're not going to have no rock band. If I never am able, if the Lord is never able to impart to you the fact that having that rock and roll is a damaging thing, then all it is to you is a rule that I've set up. And can you see that the answer to that is for you to get your heart where Jehoshaphat's heart is? The issue on a modest dress with ladies and not walking around with half your chest exposed and pants so tight that apparently you have to pour yourself into them. The way you settle that is you to get your heart right. The issue is not for me to make a rule. My rules just become Phariseeism. But if you will sanctify your heart, there are some things that automatically happen. I mean, right away Jehoshaphat understood, we cannot go the Israeli route. We've got to do something different. We're going to follow God. We have to fortify. We have to not go after gods and other things. I just hope you can see that the sanctifying effects are immediate. Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. I've learned that if you're going to do right, that somewhere along the way, you get your heart right with God, and part of that awakening is awakening to righteousness. The fact that I can stand here until I am old, gray, and blue in the face, telling you what's right and what rules you should follow. And if you never get your heart right, it's not going to mean anything to you. It's just going to be rules. If you get your heart right about some stuff, and maybe everybody's heart is right about stuff, it becomes an automatic thing where you realize that this is wrong and I shouldn't do it. I'm sorry that we've become so conscientiously hard and seared where folks can't understand that a Christian shouldn't smoke and drink. It's really sad, but I'll tell you this. If you're right with God and you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll know you shouldn't smoke and drink. They're divorced now, but my sister-in-law, we went and stayed with them one time. This was several years ago, quite a number of years ago, in fact, because the kids were little. Marcy's brother and his wife. And we went to their place. Now, they ran a bar, and one of them was saved, but she was probably lost. And we stayed with them one night, just visiting family and stuff. And I came out downstairs out of the bedroom the next morning, and she was already on the front porch, sitting out, on a summer morning on the front porch. And I noticed as I walked out that she already had a can of beer open. and had a cigarette lit. And so when I opened the door, she heard me coming. And so by the time I got out to the porch, she's sitting in a chair with legs on it, not much bigger than that. And she had moved the beer can over behind the leg of the chair and had the cigarette over here on this side. I was coming from this way so that the beer can is still visible around that little bitty leg. And the smoke is still rising up, you know, from upper arm. And what is she trying to hide this for unless she's under conviction? But I just want to say that it seems like sometimes Christian folks don't have many convictions anymore. I'll tell you what will square that away. What will square that away is your heart being lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Because there's a sanctifying effect to that alone. Notice something else along that the way. Down in verse 7. Now his heart is lifted up in verse 6 in the ways of the Lord, the only good place that happens. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, to Obadiah, to Zechariah, to Nethaneel, and to Micaiah to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, and even Shemaiah, and Nethaniah, and Zabadiah, and Azahel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, and the Levites, with them Elishama and Jehoram priests. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. He had a burden for the people. There is nothing replaces hunger. You wanting there, I cannot instill in anybody here that you should want God, that you should hunger after His Word. That is something that you have to work out in your own heart. Now, I can stand up here and turn purple and rant and rave about how often you should be here and all that stuff, but nothing I can do can make you hungry and desirous to know God. You have to do that. And that's accomplished by his heart being lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And then he has a burden to take it to them. And maybe that's the reason sometimes why if you wrestle with having a burden for the lost public, maybe that's why. Maybe you need to wrestle a little bit more with having your heart lifted up in the ways of the Lord, because the Lord God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for that public out there. And he would have done it today if he hadn't done it back in 33 A.D. And so my point is, maybe that's why you don't have a burden as much as you should, because your heart maybe is not as lifted up in the ways of the Lord as it should be. But there's another something else I want you to see here. I want you to see that the Lord blesses this lifting up of his heart in the ways of the Lord as he blesses nothing else. Look in 17:3. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. Now the Lord was with him, right? Verse 5. Therefore the Lord established his kingdom in his hand. Do you know how many of those kings got into office having inherited the office and immediately undertook with all of their power and all of their physical might, all of the wisdom that they could garner to try to establish their own kingdoms? Well, meanwhile, Jehoshaphat's heart is lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And for Jehoshaphat, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. The Lord did it. The Lord did for him what the Lord did for Joshua in lifting up Joshua in the sight of the people. The Lord did for him what the Lord did for David, that got David the right king on the throne after the wrong guy was on the throne. Notice further down the way, verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Well, you can't work that out. You can't engineer that. You can't engineer God doing something for you with the lost heathen round about you. You try to engineer that, you'll fall flat on your face. Can you see in that the Lord blesses it as he blesses nothing else. Notice down in verse 11, and some of the Philistines, even the Philistines, brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute, silver. The Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. Now that's Arabs, that's Arabians and Philistines. These folks are paying homage to this king because God has elevated him in their eyes. It wasn't his doings. It wasn't him coming to their borders with tanks and airplanes and parking an aircraft carrier off of their coast. This is God doing it for them. Now again, folks, there's things that we can't engineer. You'd like to, and you wish you can control it, but you can't. And this was accomplished by Jehoshaphat having his heart lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Now, lifted up anywhere else is destructive and is a death knell. But having it lifted up in the ways of the Lord is where it's supposed to be. Look in verse 12. Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly. Now, think about that. I think of Jehoshaphat, and in my mind, I don't know how you rate the kings of Israel and Judah, but when I think great kings, I think of David, I think of Hezekiah, and I think of Josiah. If you ask me about Jehoshaphat in my mind, good guy, little bit of a compromiser, had some really good years and some really bad friends, which is how it turns out. But would you just notice that Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly? I mean, this guy was not just a little bit strong and a little bit great. He waxed great exceedingly, and it wasn't him that did it. It was God that did it. And look, I don't know where you're at, but that's what I want. I don't want manufactured numbers. I'm not a marketer. The best I can do is flyers. I just have no knack. I don't even know that I want a knack. I just can't manufacture interest. I don't look at numbers that way. I'm not interested in pulling you off to the side, getting you in a corner, and strong-arming you, if I'm even capable of it, and kind of forcing you into my corner by the power of the magneticness of my personality. And so, Brother Jason, you better do it. Because I'm the man of God. I cannot stand that stuff. I want God to do it. Please. Please, God, do it. And if you don't do it, I'm just a dirtbag. Look at chapter 17, verse 13. And he had much business in the cities of Judah. Now, I don't know how to read that other than the city of Judah was doing big business with these folks round about. They were economically viable. I mean, it was profitable. And the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And he goes on and names for the next several verses all these mighty men of valor. I mean, David had a bunch of mighty men of valor that it spends two chapters denoting, but this guy had mighty men of valor too. And my point is that God did that. God did that because Jehoshaphat's heart, verse 6, was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And not lifted up elsewhere. Now, the last thing that I'll say, and I hope that you'll aspire and think about these things, because that's what you and I need, right? We don't need a bigger church. We need a whole bunch of people, more people sold out and interested in doing it God's way, according to God's pleasure. And everybody else can take a flying jump at the moon. That's what's needed, is for you to care what God thinks, period. Now, with that said, those good things said, notice chapter 18, verse 1. And I'll say this before I read the verse. It is a real challenge to maintain through a lifetime. Jehoshaphat is unique in that he is the only guy this thing is said about like this. That his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Yet he didn't maintain it through his lifetime. as exceeding great as he was made because of it, he didn't maintain it. It's difficult to maintain. By difficult, I don't mean that, you know, it's some sort of puzzle that nobody's figured out how to contain. What I mean is that the sinful nature of a man works against him in it. And it's hard to finish on the same good ground you started on. Boy, folks, how many times have you heard of lessons of old preachers been in the ministry 50 or 60 years that compromise and gave it all away in the latter years of it? Man, I do not want to do that. I mean, how many folks started off zealous and fervent and prayerful and desirous, and 30 years down the road or even less, they're nowhere near that ground? It's hard to maintain. Now, in 2 Chronicles 18:1, now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance. Who did that? God did that, right? And he joined affinity with Ahab. And thus began this long, there was then a long series of kings where Jehoshaphat and Ahab, having tried to rejoin the houses of Judah and Israel, it's a natural enough thing to do. I mean, the tribes were 12 at one point, so why not try to put it back together? And why wouldn't Jehoshaphat, on a high spiritual plane, try to help out those Israelites that have gone way down the wrong path? But maybe we can put this back together. If me and Ahab can get back on the same page, and maybe we can have a little party together. And as it turns out, they wound up intermarrying their houses, cooperating together that way. Look in 1 Kings 22. When the Bible says that he had joined affinity with Ahab, it means a couple things. 1 Kings 22 and verse 44. Now, let me ask you this, if you remember. One of the first things the Bible says about Jehoshaphat when his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord was what? He fortified himself against Israel because they had gone the wrong path, right? So the next chapter, first verse of the next chapter, tells you that he then started joining affinity with Ahab, the king of Israel. Verse 44 of 1 Kings 22 gives you a little light there. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now, the first thing the Lord taught him when he lifted up his heart in the ways of the Lord was that you got to stay clear of Israel. They're like a bad friend, and they're going to ruin you. And so he backs away from them, puts a wall up, and says, stay over there. Now, I'm not a fractious person. I don't try to make enemies and be sectarian and cultic and just be impossible to get along with folks. But there are some Baptists that I'm not interested in rubbing shoulders with because they'll do nothing but lead us wrong. I'm interested in doing it God's way, in God's time. And I don't want to be nasty, and I don't want to be mean, and I'm not interested in standing up and calling a bunch of people names, but I don't want to intermarry with your daughters because it's just going to lead us wrong. You need to be careful about that. That's the first thing that it says that Jehoshaphat did that went wrong. Now, one more verse on affinity just for the Bible's sake. 1 Kings chapter 3, it says that he joined affinity. It said that he made peace with them. When it said that he made affinity, there's one thing that's implied in another king's ministry that's very plain. Chapter 3, verse 1 of 1 Kings, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter. See what happened there? He intermarried with Pharaoh's house. There's probably a perfectly I mean, he just wanted to benefit Judah. And so, to put us in a better position, he's willing to intermarry with his enemy's house so that we can do business together and so that we have this bond together. Well, that's what Jehoshaphat did with Ahab's house. And then there was this sequence, these generations, several generations of kings sharing and going back and forth on those thrones. And the house of Israel, after they broke off, never did the house of Judah any good at all. They were filled with people called Athaliah and Ahaziah. These people were wicked. The house of Omri, the house of Ahab, they were idolatrous. They were wicked. They were awful. They did nothing but drag Judah down. And his first step was to join affinity with them. And from there, it became a long sequence of Jehoshaphat trying to help Ahab. Didn't want to do harm, just wanted to help. Didn't wanted to be a brother. Didn't want to be fractious and sectarian and all those things. Just wanted to elevate. He just wanted to help. And the help got him in nothing but trouble. In fact, at one juncture, one of the prophets came along and said, "You need a better class of friends." And by that, I mean you need to break off from having any business to do with Israel, because they're a bunch of idolaters. Right? Now, that's my point. It's a challenge to maintain, because you, like Solomon, and you, like Jehoshaphat, will have a tendency to lose your elevation because you're interested in seeing if you can make peace, and you take a half step just to make it a little easier, and then another half step, and before you know it, you're involved in stuff that you wouldn't have been involved in if you just hung to having your heart lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Again, I'm not out to make enemies or to cut people off or to deny that other folks are serving God. But there's some folks, when I'm reading my Bible, I'm not interested in serving God the way they are. I don't want to join up with them because I'm afraid of where they'll lead me. I just want to serve God the way the Lord showed us from the Word of God how it should be done. I've been made His steward. He's given me truth. I want to be faithful to that truth. I'd like to see Him work for me. I don't want to have to work for myself. I don't want to have to fudge numbers. I don't want to have to manufacture things. I want it to be His power, not mine. I want it to be His power, not my compromise. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? The Bible says His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. We could use a whole lot of that. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Lord, we